near each other.
So they're like very close, but not quite.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're both near and he comes first, like,
use the friction of the
use
cum.
The friction of like a just like his cum and started making everything wet. Mm-hmm. But if you just like rub it on your clit, it, you can come.
You off. Can still go. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be still hard for you to like use that energy to come.
Or sometimes we like have the vibrator right next to you and immediately
right. Don't lose it.
Yep.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I know you guys are going to love this. I have both Cammie and Nikki here with me today. Nikki's on my left, Cammie's on my right, and we are doing an AMA. You guys have been asking for this. I'm excited to have multiple just perspectives. Yes. So thank you both for being here again.
I love a Q&A.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. So let's just dive in. I have so many questions. We'll see how many we get through today.
Dope.
So the first one, should a man wear a condom if they're having sex for the first time? And what kind of sex positions should a man and woman try when having sex for the first time?
Oh, okay. So here's my thing to answer the condom question. I think yes, even if you both, you know, don't want to use it and are in agreement, like, oh, I just got tested. Great. We don't need to use condoms. I still think you should, unless, and then, you know, cause what if they're not on birth control? Now you got to ask those questions too. So unless you're ready to go through that laundry list, like, you know, are you on birth control? If yes, like, okay. If no, like what steps are you going to take? Where are you in your cycle? You know, like sometimes people don't want to go through all of that. I think the safest bet is just to use a condom. For if you're having sex with someone for the first time ever, it depends. How much do you like them?
Because I feel like
I was going to say, it depends on if I see a future or not.
I love missionary sex. Like, that's mainly the sex that I have. And I like it because I get to stare at my partner and we make out. And, like, it's really, like, you know, lovey-dovey. But, you know, if this is just like a smash and pass, like, you're going to want to do doggy, you know? So
I was going to say, it's a bit of a hot take, but on the condom thing, yeah. Do you see a future? If not, I mean, yes, on the testing thing, you know, and the safety and all of that. But like, that has been, and maybe that's not like the best way to do it. But in the past, the way I've done it is if I'm like, okay, if this is just a casual hookup and I don't see any sort of like emotional connection with the person, I'm probably not going to, you know, worry about all the conversations. We'll throw a condom on, keep it safe, keep it good, and we'll move on and, you know, have our fun. If it's someone that I really like, I'm willing to have that discussion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tested, I track my cycle, blah, 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 all of that. See where they're at and then make the decision on like whether or not to use a condom. And I don't know if that's a bad way to do it or not, but that's just how I've done it.
Yeah.
And so I usually end up using a condom with people. And I think that's just the safest way to go. But as far as positions, I don't know. I feel like, you know,
it depends on your vibe, right?
Yeah. Like missionary doggy. I don't know. How crazy do you want to get?
Chicken it, you know, like go through all the
rotate it up. The side one's always great.
I was going to say the side one is one of my favorites. And if you want to do like a half missionary, half doggy sort of thing, have the guy be, you know, on top facing forward and the girl be on her side, basically like, it's almost like a scissoring position. Mm-hmm. But at least like, you know, if it's getting too intimate, that eye gazing is a little intense, you can each look the other way and it'll be fine. Like, you're still connected.
That's my take.
Yeah. I love that advice. Yeah. I think just to be safe, use condoms, I feel like. But if, like you both of you said, if you're thinking, if you're having those conversations, if you've been dating for a long time,
this is
like the first time you're going at it,
then
maybe you guys have tested and like you want to have that first time be like more intimate and special.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one. I think it's a condom story again. Oh, so what's your condom inside story? So I recently shared how one time at a sex party, a condom came out from being inside me and it was like humiliating. Has that ever happened to you guys? Have you lost a condom?
You didn't know?
Yes.
It just came out?
Yes. Yeah. It was awful. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost a condom inside?
It's like someone like pulled out and then the condom stayed. And
same.
It was like half in, half out.
And then they just pulled it out.
Yeah.
So that's obviously what happened, but he obviously didn't mention it, which is so shitty. And so it was like a day later when I found it, or when some other guy found it. Well, I didn't even find it. Another person found it. So I think someone wants me to share this story, but basically that's what happened. It was humiliating. I was sharing how it was embarrassing, but it was also like just a good reminder to be honest and vulnerable. If something like that happens, and you should always let your partner know, because
here's the thing. A, you did nothing wrong.
I know. I was going to say, don't be humiliated.
And this is just a PSA for any guy that's having sex with a girl. The minute you feel like the condom came off.
You feel like it broke.
The minute you feel like it broke. The minute you feel like something happened with the condom. You stop intercourse right then and there. Because you never know what could happen from, you know, the condom breaking or whatever. And then you're subjecting that person, like, you're, you know, they're aware of it, but you're not. And then you're not in a consenting space. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that guy, super shitty. If you know who it is, you need to call him and be like, look, this is what you're going to do next time that happens to you when you're having sex with someone else. And, like, tell them. You know, because, A, like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's probably a little embarrassed. Like, it is embarrassing and that's how you feel. But you did nothing wrong, and that wasn't your, you know, that wasn't your fault. But they obviously were very well aware of it. And now they were keeping you in the dark. And
or more likely aware. The thing is, it's like for girls, like we don't feel it if something happens because it's not on us. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, goodness, sorry. Our kitty's climbing up to his bed. Let's let him do that. Hopefully it doesn't knock anything over.
I've been wanting to get one of those.
A little cat tree. Okay. We should have locked him out. He's sniffing the camera.
No. Okay. He is perfect just the way he is.
It's fine to think.
Yeah, we're good.
No, that's what I was going to say is that like for girls, like we just don't feel it as much. So the guy, if they feel something change, it should be on them to be like, hey, I think either it broke or it came off or whatever. Cause yeah. Cause I've had it happen where like, you know, where I was with someone going at it and then I didn't feel anything happen, but they're like, oh, I think it broke. And he pulled out, realized it did. And then, you know, we were able to like, you know, do something about that and then have a discussion, you know? So it's like,
yeah, be honest.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Absolutely. And it's not like you, a girl would look down on a dude if he said something like that. Like,
Oh no, I'd be more thankful.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It's like things happen. You have to feel comfortable and empowered enough to, you know, speak those things. So
it was comical too, to be honest. I was also laughing, but in hindsight, I was like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing, but it's fine. Things like that happen. You just got to move on.
That they do.
Okay. I guess this is more of a yes or no question, but we can get into it as well. Do you like a finger up your butt during sex, ladies?
Ask first. Yes. Please. I can't tell you how many times they just go for it. And I was like, I don't want to.
Wasn't ready. Yeah, or wasn't like, ready? Maybe I just had
didn't want
something that.
That,
I don't know. Sometimes you just don't want anyone near your booty.
I like a finger around.
Okay. So you're more of like exploring, rubbing the region.
Yeah. I do not want a finger in. I get scared. I'm like, what if I fart? You
know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, some days you don't want anything near your butt. Exactly.
Nope.
So no for you for sure. Correct. And you say to ask.
Ask first.
I feel like if I do like a finger up my butt, but I think there's a time and a place for it, like I said. So I think, asking permission is super crucial. It's intimate for me too. Booty stuff, butt stuff.
Yeah, that's like for the people I love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So same.
Well, now it's the person. But anyways, and another thing too is that like I love, you know, like when you're getting to know someone and you're like describing all the things that you like. And so, and I love, you know, butt stuff. So in the past, I've definitely been like, oh my God, I absolutely love it. And then in the moment, they just assume that it means I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. No.
Not all the time.
Just because they say they are into it does not mean that you've got, you know, free rein to do whatever you want in that area. Absolutely not. You need to ask.
Always. Love that. Okay. What about, do you like anal sex? I guess this is a good segue.
Yeah. But still,
you have to ask. And
I just, there's so much that goes into it. It's really only for the any time that I've actually like felt more connected to someone because like, otherwise just a lot more can go wrong.
I reserve it for the people that I truly love. A. B. I have to be in a very, very specific mood to want it.
Same. I always tell my partner I get a tickle down there like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's time, you know? Yeah, 100%. I'm like, babe, it's anal sex time.
100%. Does it happen to coincide with anal sex day?
Oh gosh, I don't even know if it ever has. What's that day, June? I can't remember. I know I've celebrated that before, but I don't think.
No, I'm pretty sure it's June.
I love that. Well, yeah. Again, just ask permission. I feel like it's not something you should just go for.
Oh, no.
Talk about it first. You got to lube up all the things, which I know I've talked about a lot.
Some people like to prep, douche, whatever.
You know. Yeah, that is. Yeah, some people do. Okay, let's move to the next one. Do you prefer having your pussy eaten out from the front or from the back with your ass in his face?
I love from the front so I can watch.
Me too.
From the back is fun, but like
I like both. But again, from the back I have that fear.
Yeah, I guess from the back is more like you're getting the booty involved. So maybe that's more like rimming and pussy. Like I feel like, or maybe he's
no. But you know what? Let me say this: if you're going at it from the back, do not assume that they're cool with you just making your way up north. Like once again,
that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had that happen, and then immediately I was like,
the angles are different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a more intimate angle. From the back,
I would say, yeah.
What were you saying about?
No, I was saying if I'm watching porn, I like to watch it from the back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
In those situations.
Okay, let's move on from the
booty. Is your audience really into anal? I love it.
Yeah. I talk a lot about it. I do kind of like to group my questions together, too. So let's move on from butts.
But same with our audience. They always have a lot of questions about that. Because I think it's one that, like, even though, and I have to remind myself, like, even though it's something I, you know, do a little bit more regularly in my sexual, you know, life, for a lot of people that's like just an area they've never even like explored at all. Yeah, so they always have a lot of questions. Yeah,
a lot of people.
I'm just gonna plug one of our friends. She has a great resource if you are interested in anal and you want to be well informed. Go to Canna Sexual. That's at Canna Sexual. She has a
Ashley Manta. It's a booty boss workshop. I actually took it. It's an hour long. I learned a lot of great things about anal. She did a great job. I like took notes. This is actually, I did it before I like pegged someone, and I learned so much about like what to do when pegging and what to do when receiving. So it was great. So if you have a lot of questions, that would be a great resource.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, ladies. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Let's move on. Next, do you have any tips you could give men for kissing? Or maybe just people in general? Some of these I think are coming from men, but what's your favorite? Yeah, how do you like to be kissed?
Okay, I think because I'm trying to figure out how I want to explain this.
Don't shove your tongue down someone's throat. Yeah.
Like,
Build up to the tongue.
Don't be like so like quick. Like da 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 da. Like just slow it down. I think start, especially if you're kissing someone for the very first time, start very slow. Soft peck. Another soft peck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tilt your head a little bit. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, go very slow. Because you're going to pick up on how the other person kisses the slower that you go. Obviously, don't be like
aggressively slow. Yeah.
Yeah, aggressively slow. But find that middle ground. Like I need dudes to know that it's not all like hard and fast, and like girls don't need that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, just
it's the same way they approach fingering, chill. And I'm just like relax.
Yeah, slow build.
Yes, let it be a slow burn. You don't need to just like immediately go right to the bonfire. Like just like get that flame going, and then you know,
like I love how me and my boyfriend kiss because I learned very quickly that he and I kiss the same way, and it's so compatible. And you know, we'll start slow, we'll keep it sweet, and then we'll just like shove the tongue, and the way that we massage each other's tongues is really nice.
Ooh.
So, but I like that. Like when we first, the first night we met, you know, we took it at like a really good pace. But I think like that's the key is tips for kissing. You want to go at a nice, soft pace first and slowly introduce everything else.
Yeah, and also be intuitive. I think that's important. Yes. Like kind of listen to how they're responding. And if they're wanting more tongue, then give them more tongue. But it's pretty easy to like understand the energy.
I would agree. And if you don't know what to do with your hands, girls love when you like go for like the back of the
head. I agree. That or the grab your like side of your head too. Yes, I feel like every girl loves to be like cradled.
Well, and the thing is that like so many dudes immediately start going for
titties or yeah,
your butt, your hips, all of that. And I'm just like, no, be romantic with it. Like grab, you know, or not grab, but you know, like up here around the side of the head, like those areas are going to turn her on a lot more than, you know, the areas you immediately want to go for. And so, and then, you know, let it work up to that. But yeah, I've also had it where like guys just immediately get too handsy as they start kissing you. And you're just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, we're just relax.
Yeah, relax.
Yeah. I guess like as far as like breath goes, if you're brushing your tongue when you brush your teeth, you don't need to like worry about like
so brush your tongue.
Brush your tongue. Yes.
Yeah. Like absolutely when you're brushing your teeth, like that's super, you know, get your gums, get your teeth, like that's very important. But also like get in there. I don't care how much you're testing your gag reflex as it's not gay, you know, like just get in there and scrub your fucking tongue because that's where all the bacteria is living. If you know you don't want bad breath, scrub the tongue.
I love that.
Promise it'll help.
She did used to work in dentistry.
I did. So. I used to work in dentistry and it's very important. So
thank you, Cammy, for that. Yay. Okay. This is fun because these questions, I feel like we get a lot because we both have sex pods.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to just say them together because they're very similar. One, do you fuck a lot? Two, you seem to have so much sex. Do you just walk around your house naked and fuck in every room?
See, I think this is so funny that like people assume this, but I want to preface this with saying like, A, when I was single, like, no, it was when it came, you know, but now being in a relationship, when we're together, we actually do.
Well, I feel like that honeymoon phase, you're in that honeymoon phase. You're pretty new.
And we're long distance.
So oh, you are.
We see each other about 3.5 days on, 3.5 days off.
Okay.
So during the on days, obviously, like, we're all over each other. During the off days, we're not together. So, and I don't even need to masturbate during those days. I'm usually just, like, saving it up for the next round.
Yeah, edging yourself.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, like, I think people need to be realistic with sex podcasters. Just because this is our line of work and we're talking about sex doesn't mean that it's, like, it's just a free-for-all all the time. We have great sex lives all the time. Everything's just peachy perfect all the time. Like, that's not true and that's not realistic. Your libido will, especially if you're like a woman, will come and go. You know, it's a 30-day cycle. So some days you're feeling horny, other days you're not. Obviously, like whether you're single or partnered, the frequency with which you have sex does change. Like it's not consistent and like the same all the time, you know? So I feel like whenever I see questions like these, it just reminds me that it's perhaps these questions are coming from people that are either not very well, like they don't know themselves very well sexually. Maybe they haven't taken the time to explore. And so it causes them to have like this very distorted view on how like sex podcasters or anyone in the line of sex work conducts themselves that way.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, I'm for you, because you live with your partner. You guys have been together for a long time. I'm sure there are ebbs and flows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are times where you're all over each other and other times where you're just like, maybe next week.
Yeah. Or just like, yeah, I feel like in the beginning of our relationship, I mean, this is the longest relationship I've been in. So there's definitely been like peaks and valleys. And when we've been in a going through a really stressful time, like there's definitely less sex happening. But in the first year or two, I feel like we were having a lot of sex and we were having sex in all the locations that we could, because it's just fun. And that's what you do when you're getting to know each other and you're so hot and heavy, you know? But now, honestly, I feel like it's once every few days, sometimes like sometimes we'll go a few days where it'll happen a lot. We shower together almost every day. And so
I love that.
Yeah. We've always showered together, which is just like a time that
you're
is
both
fun.
Tauruses.
Yeah.
Love that. That's such a Taurus practice.
Is it? Oh my God. It's so funny.
A Taurus loves a shower.
Never knew it.
My partner's a Taurus too. And we shower together.
Okay. Yeah. It's also an easy way to get a quickie.
Yeah.
So,
or like feel each other up, you know?
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, our schedules are so busy now. And so that's just like an easy way to get it in real quick. But it's hard. It's more difficult for me to come and shower during shower
sex. Standing up.
Yeah.
I can hardly ever come standing up.
I know. I should get a little waterproof. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's what I do. We take the vibrator in there. We shower every single time together, but we don't always have sex. Sometimes I just like the intimacy of like, you know, washing each other. But having a vibrator in there helps.
Oh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, we're not having sex all the time. I do like to break in things though. So like when I get a new rug, I'm like, oh yeah, baby, let's break it in.
Yeah.
New blanket. Let's break it in.
Yeah.
Come here.
I had a photo shoot recently with our new vacuum and I was like riding the vacuum and it's on my Patreon.
Is it a Dyson? Like,
is it a Dyson, babe? Yeah. Okay. It is.
Love. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out Dyson. But anyways, what about you? You're single, right?
Are
you?
No. I've been in a relationship slightly longer than Kiani.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
We both met guys at festivals
over the summer.
Yeah. Over the summer and immediately got into relationships.
Oh, okay. Wow. Love that.
Mine's in Italy. So we're.
Oh my goodness.
I spend every other month there. Yeah. I realize we haven't really caught up.
I also just realized we didn't invite you to her.
I think I was in Guatemala.
Okay.
Was that just last week or something?
It was recent. It was like in the last like week and a half.
I might have been here, but I've been busy, so it's okay. But that's right. Happy belated birthday. Or it's not yet.
It just passed. Yeah,
it was yesterday. Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You have
fun. Oh, no, 2 days ago. Yeah. But yeah, so my
Italy.
Partner,
wow.
We spend every other month. So like I was there for a month, I'm home for a month, and then I go back in 2 weeks for another like month and a half.
And is he Italian?
No. He's American. He's there for work. Okay. He's only got a year left, so there's an end in sight. Oh. But yeah, when we see each other, we're like all over each other. And I think the one main, not even argument, but like we had to like sit down and have a discussion. We were like, he was like, I need just 24 hours for my dick to like
recalibrate,
you know, like recoup. And I was like, that's fine. And then we made it like 18 hours, not even a full 24. And then I remember a few days later, there was one time where we like had sex for like 7 hours straight. It was a lot. And the next day I was like, we still went 3 rounds, but I was like, I need a break. So we're in the honeymoon phase. So mm-hmm. It's like, it's great. And we only see each other, you know, for like batches at a time. So like, obviously when we are together, we try to get as much action in as we can. So it really just depends on the relationship. But like I have been, you know, in a long-term relationship before. I, you know, when I was married, we were together almost like 10 years. And I understand like there's very much an ebb and a flow. And it can depend on so much, like not only hormonals, are you on birth control, you know, like stressors, grief that you're going through, mm-hmm. like if you had anything happen that like, life events, things like that. Like there's, I think the expectation should never be that like, oh, it's going to be great 24/7 and like all the time it's going to be, you know, I think instead it should be like it's something that you have to approach with a lot of intention when you're in something that's more long-term.
And that's what I meant to say earlier too, is I think people need to get clear on how they prioritize sex too, because that'll determine.
And do you prioritize it the same? Like, how do you prioritize it? How does your partner prioritize it? And where can you meet in the middle?
Because it might be different. You might value sex more than your partner does. Yeah. Everyone's on a different spectrum of that for sure.
And I think that was one of the big things with my partner when we first started like seeing each other. I was like, look, I prioritize it. I need it like I need air. Because for me, sex, like I'm just a very like, and I don't want to say sexual in like a way that like is negative, or I don't know the word I'm looking for there, but like I am someone that prioritizes it. So like I need a partner that's also has a decently high drive, is going to prioritize it, wants to explore all those things, because like those are important to me. Mm-hmm. So like you need to have like relatively similar libidos ish
or just vibe it out a lot more they do. There's definitely ways to kind of compromise and meet in the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, I think that was Good advice. Thanks, ladies. Let's move to the next one.
Also, we're very opinionated. So, like, if you ever need us to just, like, shut the fuck up.
No, I love this. It's going great so far.
I say land your plane whenever, like, or that's why I say land your plane.
To stop talking. Yeah, yeah. Land your plane. I like that. Okay, next question. So, hot girl summer is officially over and cuffing season is here. Do you think the fall/winter really makes us more horny? I've actually never heard that before. Have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, because you're spending more time inside. It's colder outside. Like you're the
cozy.
The seasonal depression hits in, so you're like, I want to be warm.
You need something that's giving you a dopamine hit because you're not going outside.
Yeah, there's less sun. I don't know.
Not for us here in California.
That's true. Not for us here. I think it can definitely be a thing. However, I don't know that I have ever really noticed a difference in my libido as the seasons change.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's just,
it's just always up there.
I know. I take that back because there have been times where it's like, you know what? I guess it depends on whether or not I'm in a relationship. If I'm in a relationship, it stays pretty high. And, kind of like try to keep it at like a baseline. But like when I was single, it would have a lot of ebbs and flows. And I think it would just, but it would never depend on the season. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Yeah, how about you? Have you felt seasonal shifts?
Not necessarily if I'm partnered. I think in the past when I've been like single around the time where it's like, summer's over, everyone's not fucking around. And now all of a sudden you see all the couples do like all the cutesy things like I'm wearing a pumpkin patch, whatever the fuck. Anyways, they're doing all the cutesy stuff. People are bringing their booze to the holidays. Like,
obviously,
as a single person, you would want to, bring someone home, blah, blah, blah. So, Well, yeah. I mean, I think there is that, phenomenon of like, we grew up watching people taking their booze to holiday dinners on TV.
Or just like sharing the holidays with someone.
Yeah, sharing the holidays with someone that, it makes people crave that. But yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I love that. Let's go to the next one. I think it's fun to just embrace whatever feels good, I think, exactly. Ultimately. Yeah. Going back to your single days, did you ever accidentally call a guy by the wrong name in bed? I'm looking at you, Nikki. You made a face.
I've not.
Mm-mm. I almost did once. There was a time where there was just too many names, too many people to keep track of.
Too many people on the roster.
It wasn't bad. It was just not my finer moments. But I will say that, yeah, I remember I was like hooking up with a guy and I couldn't for the life of me remember like which. There were two. I just kept mixing them up and I almost said the other guy's name, but instead, you just go for like baby.
Yeah. You babe, just make a pet whatever. Name.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know that I've ever accidentally said the wrong name entirely in bed.
No one
has done that to me either. Has it happened?
It hasn't happened to me. That's a good follow up. No. And I don't think I've ever done it either. I think there's been definitely moments in bed where I'm like, I can't remember this person's name, but yeah, then you just go to a pet name. Easy yeah. Cap out. Yeah. It happens. Yeah. It happens.
Or just, speak to the deities above,
For sure. Okay. What about this one? Has there ever been a time in your life when you went to hook up with a really sexy guy or girl only to find out they were terrible in bed? If so, what was that like?
100%.
Yeah. Same.
I think that's happened to all of us.
I feel like it's definitely happened to all of us. I was telling my girlfriends, recently, we were just on vacation together and I was remembering this time where I met this guy on FetLife and I was so excited to go over to his place. He was staying at a hotel in the neighborhood in Pasadena and I like walked over there and I get there and literally it was just like in within moments and came within literally like a minute or two. Like it was so fast. And then that was it. Like he just stopped. No pleasure for me. It was so uncomfortable. And then I just left and I literally like round trip and I was walking there. I was like home within like 20 minutes. It was wild.
Wow.
It was wild. I was like, this is absurd. Of course he never got a response after that. I probably ghosted the man, but I was like, damn, what a fucking.
As you should have.
Yeah.
This may be a little bit of a hot take, and I've said this before, but And, you know, we're in Los Angeles. There is a plethora of beautiful people. The majority of the men here have, like, washboard abs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everyone really prioritizes beauty and health here, I would say. And which is not a bad thing. However, that does not equate to sexual pleasure at all, whatsoever. In fact, I always found it's the tall, hot, abby guys with, you know, a big dick that are just like, I can get anything I want. I don't have to lift a finger in bed. Don't go down on you. Don't give a shit about your orgasm. They'll just pound into you until they come and then they're good. And you're just like, great. I didn't enjoy that experience. And yeah, so I think I've definitely seen that many times.
Yeah, you have to be intentional.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, if you get to know someone enough, like you can kind of suss out the vibe, you know? Mm-hmm. Like maybe don't rush into bed with them immediately because you just need to have a few more conversations.
Yeah, because then you might like that situation. I mean, it's not like I probably did regret it a little. I was like, that was a waste of my time, you know, but I was like, whatever. It was in a time of my life where I was, you know, down for all sorts of pleasure. So, but yeah, it's a bummer. So it's always yeah. like, that's why I focus a lot on now is like taking your time and baby steps. And mm-hmm. like we were talking about before, the slow build.
Yeah. And maybe that comes with like getting older too.
I think it does.
Yeah. Because yeah. sometimes like, yeah, I think back to like my mid-20s.
My younger days.
Yeah. I was like,
I was doing whoever.
I was like, if mm-hmm. I think you're hot, we're doing it. And, right. you know, but then you go into
horrible sex.
Exactly. Afterwards, you're just like, well, that wasn't really fulfilling at all. And so that kind of teaches you over time what to actually prioritize when you're choosing a sexual partner.
Totally. So when I was like 18, 19, there had been this one guy in high school that I had a crush on. He was a grade above us. He was super hot. Like all the girls wanted him. Make sure that I can't.
Okay, got it.
So anyways, he and I never hooked up in high school. But then in college, he and I somehow ended up like, I don't know, chatting it up, whatever. And I would go over to his place. And yeah, we would, I mean, he was so hot, but we would have like 5 minute sex and, you know, pound and go. Like, and I always felt or, you know, didn't feel that great about myself, like leaving each time of intercourse. And I mean, I can also just equate this to the fact that, you know, we were both young and didn't know what the fuck we were doing. But yeah, you can't take looks and be like, oh, they're hot. They're going to be great in bed. It's like, no.
Yeah. Again, you can't make assumptions. Yeah,
don't make an assumption. In fact, it's always been the people that, you know, I would have been like, oh, this isn't going to be that great. That afterwards I'm like, wow.
I agree. Yeah. You're yeah. always like mind blown by yeah. certain experiences. Yeah. Okay. Let's try to get through a bunch more. Have you ever orgasmed simultaneously with a partner? If so, was it any different than a normal orgasm?
Yes. And it's a pretty dope experience, I would say.
I love it. I'm like addicted to my boyfriend's cum. So when he comes, I come, which is great. I love it. And even if he's just like pulling out and then like rubbing his dick on my clit right as he pulls out, I will to the moon. It's great.
Love that.
I think it can be a very connected experience mm-hmm. if we both do it together. Now, obviously, it's not going to happen at the same time every time. Like, that's very hard to achieve.
And don't put that pressure on yourself.
Yeah, and don't put that pressure on yourself. But when it does happen, it is it's magical.
Yeah. I feel like it does feel different because the energy that you're receiving from your partner while you're like expelling energy, I feel like it's kind of this, like mm-hmm. this really more intense flow yeah, of,
it's like
of vibes.
Avatar's touching tails, you know, like.
Yes.
But you got to let it be like a surprise. It needs to be something that's a surprise. Like let it just happen. If it happens, great.
Yeah. Yeah, it does not happen often.
No.
I feel like it's pretty rare for it us.
Is, yeah.
Or sometimes he'll come and I'll be like almost there. And so I'm like, don't stop, you know? And I like have to like slowly like let it build and he'll he'll, you know, keep going until
so
I'm
like
done.
Near each
so they're like very close, but not quite.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you're both near and he comes first, like
use the friction of the
use
cum.
The friction of like, A, just like his cum, it's already making everything wet. Mm-hmm. But if you just like rub it on your clit, you can
Come you on. Can still go. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be still hard for you to like use that energy to come.
Or sometimes we like have the vibrator right next to you and immediately.
Right. Don't lose it.
Yep. No,
use the mini one. The Hitachi, they make a mini.
I know they have a mini now. I've been meaning to get one.
I have it. It's actually, it works really well.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The charger, you have to plug into USB, so I charge it on my computer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay, next question. Do you have any tips for double penetration? Have you ladies experienced that?
Yes.
So I'm out.
A lot of lube and just deep breaths.
Deep breaths and lube. I feel like that's great. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm gonna keep us moving to some quick ones. That's great. Deep breaths and lube. Do you like sucking more than one cock at the same time?
I've never done that.
My mouth is not that big.
It's hard. I've tried it. Hard.
Yeah. I don't know what y'all seem to think we can do with our jaws, but like that is not very possible for a lot of women.
I'll also be really honest. I don't like giving head unless I'm in love.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't want to. I get a lot of like lockjaw and it hurts and it's a lot of work. You never know how long. I'm sorry. But that's the thing is I don't expect a guy to go down on, like, I don't want any oral if I'm not in love or if I don't know the person like, well, like the first time, if it's, you know, in the past, like if it had been just like a hookup, like I rarely want oral.
Isn't it fascinating the orifices that we equate with like more intimacy?
And, everyone's different.
It is.
I love
because
that.
Like to some people, they'll be like, sure, I'll go down on you or you can whatever. But like you're not going inside me. Yeah. And so for other people, it's like the opposite. So, yeah.
I love it. I have a little bit of a kinky question. Mm. Are you into ball busting? Which I feel like we should clarify what that even means.
Yeah, I want to get clear on that before I answer the question.
So it's more in the BDSM umbrella. So it's kind of like you want to feel degraded and humiliated. And that can also mean inflicting pain typically on your ball region. So I've gotten this question a few times and it's not something I've ever done.
I've never done it and I'm submissive. So I would never.
I'm switchy. Like, no. I'm switchy. And I did have a submissive that liked to have his balls hit repeatedly. And the one time that like I really got out of like that dominant energy in the middle of like a, you know, a scene with someone was when he was just having me hit his balls repeatedly. And halfway through, I'm like, I don't want to fuck up his ability to have kids. I don't want to cause any damage. Wait, am I going too hard?
That liked being stepped on?
Yeah, was that the same guy?
Oh, okay. That was on his face.
Oh. Okay.
With heels. no, but so that one specifically. And so at one point, I didn't know what to do. Luckily, I'm trying to remember. There was one time where he told me it was okay. Like, or he was like, okay, I think I'm like at my like level of pain or whatever. And then there was another time where I think I ended it as well. So, but yeah, that was...
So it's pretty common, I guess.
I guess, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that if you like it. I think for someone that's like giving the pain, like that is a very sensitive area and that can impact you in many ways. So I would just tread lightly.
Yeah, I had a recent guest who was like terrified of exploring the ball region. And so I like did a little kind of like a poll and the majority of people were like, tread lightly in that region. So I think it takes a certain person to be like, oh, I want you to stomp on my balls. I want you to kick my balls, all of that.
One of our guests, I will never forget this story. It was so bad. Our producer literally left the room to gather himself.
Really? Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. So it was a dominatrix that we interviewed. It's on our YouTube. That clip got like over 3 million views or something. Like it was ridiculous. But basically she had a submissive and you should have her as a guest if she comes down to LA. She is phenomenal and just such like a beautiful person. But she had a submissive that liked to have his balls nailed to a wooden board.
But the submissive was a nurse.
So he knew what to do.
It afterwards and everything.
Oh, wow. Where to go, how to avoid any like, you know, really bad permanent damage, whatever. Anyways, and I was just like fascinated to hear that story because I could not even imagine receiving or giving that experience to someone. So I think it goes to show just how like the depth of an experience that you can go with someone in the like pain and pleasure exploration. So that was really fascinating. But yeah.
And everyone's unique, and it's a mm-hmm. beautiful thing. I encourage and you to embrace
if
it.
If you're into it, no shame.
You know, totally.
Giving or receiving. Like, if you're into ball busting, like, that's dope. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Just be safe. Onward.
Okay, just a few more. Let's see. Does size matter? And I have another one. Can I bring a woman to an orgasm with a 4-inch penis?
Yes, and... Oh, wait, no, and yes.
Yeah, agreed.
I've had 4-inch penises give me orgasms many times.
Mm-hmm.
But does size matter? It's really a preference thing. There is such a thing as too big.
Like, we have a friend who loves, like, 4-inch dicks. She's like, I hate big dicks. I don't want anything to do with them.
Like, I remember one time we walked in. Yeah, she was like, oh, my God, he had the most perfect penis I've ever seen. I was like, and knowing her, I was like, how big was it? And she was like, 5 inches, you know, it's like below average, whatever. Anyways, it was like a little bit below 5 inches anyways. And she loved it. And for her, like, that's her preference. And she was like, anything over 6, I don't want anything to do with it. Get it away from me, etc. I have a preference on size. However, I have never equated the size of a man's penis to the quality of the sexual experience.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
There is such thing as too big.
It really just depends on, like, how do you use it? It's like I was saying earlier, like, I've seen guys with, like, beautiful penises have no fucking idea how to use it. And then afterwards you're just like, what a waste.
Yeah, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste of that beautiful cock.
I want to throw out this story from college. I don't know if y'all remember this. It used to be, like, an app where, like, you could post anonymously and people could, like, up or down the comment. It was almost like Reddit in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was a little different. Anyways, and so I remember one time, but it was like local community. So it had to be somewhere where you were like nearby. But I remember one time one guy posted, he was like, I have a micro penis. Like, you know, is anyone ever going to want me? And this one girl, like, commented or posted back. She was like, hey, I love micro penises. Like, I'd love to get together. And it turns out they actually, like, met up and had a great time and, like, started dating.
Aww.
And, you know, he had a micro and she loved it and they went for it. So,
yeah, size does not matter. I have a best friend that's experienced a micro penis multiple times. I don't think I've ever experienced a micro, but...
I've experienced twice. I was going to say, you do start to err on the side of challenging when you're below 3 and above, like, 9.
Yeah.
Because, like, above 9, like, that's really big, especially if you're really thick. And, like, to some women, that's, like, intimidating. You have to go really slow. There's a lot of, like, you know, movement or a lot of preparation involved for that. And, like, it can err on the side of painful. So for some women, like, you can't go fast. You can't, you know, do certain positions. Doggy's going to hurt, blah, blah, blah. But then also, you know, below 3, then, you know,
you need more toys maybe.
Yeah. Or just, like, in the sensation can be a little bit different. So, like, yeah, I think in that realm, I can understand how it can be challenging. But again, like,
or I think it's all about the norm.
Yeah. Outside of the norm. Yeah. Just if you learn how to use your manhood.
Yeah. You have to learn how to use your tools.
Yeah, exactly. It is a tool. Your penis, when it comes to sex. So it is a tool. Learn how to use it.
But yeah, I don't think you should ever feel insecure about your size.
Mm-mm.
I think there's definitely things that you can do on both sides, too big or too small, to help make the experience super pleasurable.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I remember I had a long time ago, a partner that was around 4, 4.5. And we did a lot of anal. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Because that doesn't hurt.
That's nice. Yeah. So there's definitely, things that you can. Yeah. I remember being terrified of a dick because it was too big once. And I was just like, I'm just going to keep that in my mouth.
I'm at a 12-incher.
That's even worse. No, thank you.
I have a big mouth. I kind of have fun with it.
No, I'm at a 12-incher. I blacked out.
Yeah. It's not pleasant. And it also depends on your vulva and your vagina. And, like, we're all different. Some are deeper, some are wider.
How much are they cradling for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try to get through maybe just one more. My boyfriend is struggling to come from sex. He's convinced it has to do with being circumcised. What can I do to help him relax and enjoy sex? And what should I try to bring him to orgasm more easily? What should I try to bring him to orgasm more easily? Yeah.
I think it's a mental thing more often than not. And that can be really tough because
he's having anxiety about something.
Yeah. And it could be either sexual related, like putting pressure on himself to orgasm, or it could be like outside of their relationship. And it's just like carrying into the bedroom. And then like, he's just not focused enough and not present enough to be able to orgasm. But I don't think it would have anything to do with being circumcised.
No, it doesn't.
Because yeah. there are a lot of circumcised men coming.
Yeah.
Most of America
is yeah. circumcised.
I would wager. I think at that point, you really need to slow sex down and you need to not make it orgasm focused. Mm-hmm. I would try a really like tantric, whatever experience. I would start with maybe you're both in bed. You know, maybe you have clothes on, whatever. You go very slow, like maybe do some like intimate touching, kissing, long makeout sesh, like really get into the moment. Something to keep him extremely, extremely focused
and in present. The moment. And I say present, not yes. focused.
Okay,
if you're focusing on present orgasm,
in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and present in his body too. Yeah, you know, like so, you want to
feeling the sensation.
Even mm-hmm. if it's just like you're going to do a really nice, like sensual blowjob, great. Don't put his dick in your mouth for like the first 10 minutes. Like get the area really nice and teased. But I think that person, or I think they really need to play around with what sex looks like without an orgasm. And they might find through a lot more like connection and intention and their intimacy, they could help him achieve that.
Yeah, don't focus on the goal of ejaculating. And also, I think like you mentioned initially, like mind and body are so connected. Mm-hmm. So maybe just open that dialogue and have a conversation. Like if there's something that's going on, maybe he's super stressed at work. Maybe he's not happy with his job. You know, maybe something's lacking. You know, something could be making him having that difficulty to relax and let go. Because it really is like surrendering your body to feel the pleasure. And so by just kind of having that conversation could also help him, you know, feel more free in doing so.
I think you could also, or they could kind of play around with a blindfold, like him blindfolding.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just because he's not going to know what's coming next. So it's actually going to keep him a lot more present.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to say the same thing, because sometimes like when you can't, sometimes especially like depending on what your room is set up like, and if there's a lot of visual stimulation, like your mind starts going to different things. And then like you see this and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot to buy lavender, blah, 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 for this coffee that's gonna make. And then, or you see, you know, whatever. And so your mind, so sometimes I do better when like either like the lights are completely off or I close my eyes so then I can actually like get into my body. But when you were saying about the mind body thing, it could be that like, even if he's like mentally present, his body just hasn't like caught up to that either, mm-hmm. you know, or vice versa, whichever it may be. So it's like slowing things down and like maybe like really getting more intentional about being present and like, you know, touching and like feeling into everything more will help your body kind of like get into a state where it's actually like able to receive pleasure and like get into a place where it can like actually relax. It could be a nervous system thing.
Yeah, playing with the senses.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
I was gonna say, if you really want to get into your body, wax play. Nothing mm-hmm. gets you more into your body than the anticipation of hot wax. Okay,
well, I was gonna say, if you want to take a different approach and you don't want wax, you could also practice with, or they could also practice like they sit in front of each other with kind of like their legs crisscrossed into each other, so they're close, and then they hold, kind of like maybe connect foreheads or like really intense eye gazing, and do some breath work before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, breathing could be a great way.
And also, you know, A, it enhances the experience, but B, it can, you know, help his nervous system relax. It can help him just like have better access to that orgasm later on, just because it does have a lot of like different benefits.
And get in tune with your partner more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great way to connect. Loving that advice. Like, woohoo. Get in there. Oh, awesome. Let's, you know, I like to end my episodes with that last time you had that sweet release, ladies, if you're comfortable sharing, whether it was solo, I guess, since you're both long distance, or maybe it was some phone sex.
Sherry's money. I also want to hear yours. Does anyone ever ask you for yours?
Yeah, sometimes. I'll start. Yeah, sure. Yesterday I got home from my Guatemala trip. So I was like ready.
Boo's been missing you.
Yeah. He had a meeting right away. So I kind of like showered, freshened up. And then we had a lovely pleasure session on the bed right there. And I think I came like 6 times.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. It was around 6 or 7. Sometimes you just lose track, you know? But yeah, it was like oral, vibrator, and then penetration. And it was all missionary. I was just relaxing. So
fucking love missionary.
how about you?
Mine was actually, it was on my birthday, and I don't want to share too much just because I don't know what he's comfortable with
totally
sharing it. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that my boyfriend is a huge nerd, which I love that about him. He's like my literal wet dream because I've always just loved nerds. And he looks exactly like how I would want my partner, whatever. Anyways, he's my wet dream. But I told him he wears these glasses during his meetings, like blue light glasses, mm-hmm. and he looks so fucking nerdy in them. So like I wake up and, you know, we're like making out or whatever. And I go to the bathroom to pee real quick before like we get started. And I come back into my room and he's wearing this button down, like open with a tie and his glasses. And he looked nerdy and so fucking hot. I was like... I almost started crying because I wanted like that little role play fantasy, and he looked so good. And yeah, we just went at it, and it was very endearing and that he did that for me, mm-hmm. and also just like very hot. And so, yeah, I had a great time.
Yay. A wonderful, sweet release. Awesome. What about you, Nikki?
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen my partner in almost 3 weeks. And so all my orgasms have been at the hand of my vibrator, which is a whole relationship that I'm having to work on now that I'm doing this little scenario, because like I find that like my orgasms with my vibrator just aren't like the same. Him and I have like such amazing connective sex when we're together that when I go home and, you know, put my wand on my clit, it just... part of me is just like a little bit disappointed that it's not him. Aww. And so I'm working on that because I want to be able to still have like a healthy relationship with masturbation. So that's a work in progress. But before that, I think whenever him and I were together, and this was like right before I was leaving, and we were too tired the morning of when I left, but the night before, I just remember, obviously we knew we were going to see each other for like a month and some change. And so it was just like very connective, very like, it was like, I get a lot of those, like cervical, like energetic type orgasms. And it was one of those where it's just like full body, like just rolls right through you, all the senses. I actually get those with him more than I do like the G-spot ones. And I don't know if you've experienced like cervical ones, but they are very like intense in that like your whole body's involved. You look like you're having convulsions. Mm-hmm. And it's really great. So, but he likes my convulsions. Thank God.
Yeah. I'm a shaker too. I feel like
my whole
people
body
embrace
like,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a good sign that you're doing something right.
I would agree.
Well, thanks for coming on, ladies. I appreciate you both. This was fun. We'll have to do it again. I feel like we didn't even get through them all. But yeah, if you guys, my sweets, want to hear more from Cammie and Nikki, I know a lot of you follow them as well, but Double Teamed Podcast with Cammie and Nikki. And yeah, anything else you ladies want to share before we say bye?
No, yeah, just all the links, doubleteampodcast.com. You can find us on socials at Cammie and Nikki or at Double Team Podcast. Leave her a 5-star review. Don't forget to do that.
Subscribe. Yeah. Like the channel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give it a thumbs up. If you don't like it, just don't say anything.
Yeah, thanks, sweets. I agree. Thanks, sweets. I appreciate you all. Thanks for your support and love. And thank you so much for asking all the juicy questions. I'll link that below if you have any other questions. I do these very frequently, so please ask away. Okay, bye.